You are listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Reactions to the UN-sponsored Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20, in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, last week have been mixed. Dr. Alison Doig, Senior Advisor on Sustainable Development for the UK-based advocacy organization Christian Aid, is critical about what she thinks the conference accomplished, saying it was stunning only in its lack of urgency. She spoke with me upon her return from Rio.
I think we have, coming out of Rio, a very pedantic document that details processes and some of the issues that we want to address. What we don't have coming out of Rio is an inspiring text. There's no inspiration coming out that to lead the world towards solving our massive poverty issues and our environmental degradation issues. I think in the document, all the detail of the document, it doesn't add up. It doesn't equate to the scale of the problems and the challenges we face, and it certainly doesn't inspire a generation. So we have got some of the detail they went in to get, but we certainly don't have the inspiration to, you know, for our young people even moving forward to say we're going to deal with this problem.
Well, you know, we talked before you left for Rio, and you were telling me that Christian Aid was going to be pushing for greater social justice for the world's poor and underprivileged. You were going to be calling for sustainable agriculture, water, sustainable energy. Which area of these would you say suffered the most in the document, the concluding document of this conference?
Social justice element was failed on. I think there was a distinct, whereas a lot of the issues were identified as problems, there were there was a complete lack of targets and goals and commitments within that. And there were a number of countries, mostly the very rich developed countries, such as the US, the EU bloc, Canada, Japan, who were determined to get the language of responsibility out of the text. So the common but differentiated responsibility, which means each country takes its due amount of responsibility to respond. So the lack of targets and the lack of the responsibility of the wealthy countries who have caused much of the problem to react. So I think the social justice element has been strongly missed out. If you read the text, you do see concern over food, concern over water, concern over energy, but this lack of action and responsibility was definitely missing from that text.
You were speaking there about some of the wealthier countries looking to be less responsible in this final document, but how would you rate, therefore, the participation of emerging economies such as India, Brazil, and China? To what extent do you see them committed to investing in sustainable development?
Well, if you start with Brazil, obviously they set up the conference. They were the leaders in terms of the negotiation, and they were determined to get a text that all countries would agree to. They were very, very determined not to do what happened in Copenhagen a few years ago at the climate negotiations, when the very few elite countries came together and produced a very, very weak outcome that wasn't agreed by all developing countries. So they did play a role in terms of the negotiating process to get a text that all countries may have not been enthusiastic about, but were at least willing to sign up. But overall, the middle-income countries sat in the negotiations very firmly with the G77, that's the group of developing countries. They didn't stand out particularly on any of the issues. They very much held that bloc together. And what was happening was really, I think you can't look at their role without looking at the role of countries such as the US and the EU. So while there was a push from the richer countries to move towards new sustainable development goals and greater objectives on green economy, the developing country bloc as a group were saying, we don't want to take on new goals. We can't. If we take on those goals, we haven't got the finances, we haven't got the technology to achieve them. And there's no commitments within this text to finance and technology being exchanged. So there was this standoff, really, between the need for goals and the move towards goals, and the developing countries been resistant to take on new goals without the finance and technology. And as I say, the India and China were very much within that mix in the developing country bloc. They are still developing countries, but they are increasingly impacting on the environment. So I know that the rich countries want to pull them out of that bloc and make them stand on their own. But in terms of the renegotiations, it was definitely a standoff between the identified developing countries and the wealthy countries.
Well, what do you think it's going to take then to bring these emerging economies on board? You're talking about the exchange of finances and technologies.
I think for a country like India, that is absolutely critical. India still has massive poverty. Almost two-thirds, three-quarters of their people live in desperate poverty. So there is an emerging wealthy and middle class within India, but there's also desperate poverty, and they still aren't in a position to go to low. And I think China probably stands out as the one country that can and is doing action on environment on its own. It's probably not doing enough as yet. It's in a competitive global market, and it doesn't see Europe, USA, Japan taking the actions that, you know, for environment. So China itself is looking to secure its own resources globally, not just within its own borders, but globally in terms of natural resources. But China, in many ways, particularly on aiming for low carbon energy, for example, it's already made commitments that go beyond what the USA is willing to do. But I think China is taking small but significant steps in the right direction on its own. But other emerging economies are still battling poverty within their own borders, and maybe should be redirecting more resources internally. But certainly to make the step change in terms of sustainable development will need external assistance ongoing.
Now, I know you and Christian Aid were pleased by contributions made by your own government there in the UK. The UK has pushed through mandatory reporting of CO2 emissions for UK companies. What will that mean in concrete terms? And would you like to see other countries follow suit?
Yes, this is, in fact, a big success for Christian Aid. Christian Aid has been calling for the UK government to hold its own companies to account for its carbon emissions for about 6 years now. So it's been an ongoing, long-term campaign for us. So we are very, very pleased to see this move. So it means that UK companies have to report on their carbon, the larger UK companies have to report on their carbon emissions every year as part of their accounting, presenting their accounts, their financial statement. They have to have an environmental climate statement each year, which means that we can see exactly which companies are moving forward and making progress towards a more sustainable future. And it will also hold not just the good guys, the good companies to account, but also the ones who are more reluctant to make change. It's only looking at the carbon emissions within the UK borders. We know that UK investments around the world, if you count up, UK probably is accountable for about 2% of global carbon emissions. But if you look at UK investment outwards, it's responsible for about 15% of global carbon emissions, our investment through the city. So we want to push it further so that the City of London is responsible for its investments beyond the UK borders. And within the RIIO text itself, there is a movement towards corporate sustainability reporting, having high standards globally for not just climate, but all the environmental and social impacts of companies. And that is something we will certainly be pursuing to push forward. So we've had a step forward in the UK. It's definitely something we want to pursue into the future.
So you see it too as a model that other countries could follow?
Yes, I think the important thing really is to get standardised reporting globally. Developing countries are concerned that this sort of reporting just could become a burden or a trade barrier for them actually, you know, selling into Europe or USA, you know, if they're not reporting on these standards. So whereas if we have a global standard for reporting, it means that for each country they're trying to sell into, they will have the same reporting requirements, not multiple, one for each country, which is something they're very, very concerned about. So the more global we can make it, the more standardised we can make it, the more transparent and open I think companies will be. And the civil society, the people from around, particularly the developing world, are very, very concerned about the responsibility of corporates. Corporates were very evident in Rio, and they're very, very concerned that a lot of these corporates, whereas they have a surface of green approaches, actually are not being as responsible as they should do for their impact globally. So I think there is a lot of concern about corporate transparency on sustainability moving forward.
Would you say, looking back at the conference, that economics ruled over environment?
Looking back at the conference, I would say economics is still the dominant model. I think economics stopped a number of countries, I should say, from moving forward and taking on stronger targets. The people from developing countries I spoke to are very, very concerned about the commodification of nature, that every bit of nature ought to have a cost. If things have a cost, then the richest can afford them and the poorest lose out. So to give an example, there was a the move towards sustainable energy for all was very, very dominated, the event I went to, by the corporates saying, you know, we need public-private partnerships. And public-private partnerships produce energy that is sold, you know, on the market. And poor people, people really living in utter poverty, cannot afford market rate prices for energy. Energy is now seen as a commodity rather than a right and a service for people to bring them out of poverty, to give them a better life. We expect to be able to switch a switch and put on a light. We should be able to expect not to cook on a smoky wood or charcoal fire and instead have a clean cooking fuel that, you know, that isn't going to get into our lungs and cause illness in our children. There ought to be, these things ought to be seen as a service, the people I was talking to thought of, whereas what we've been talked about was energy as a commodity that could be sold on a market across the world. So I think there is concern that the corporate approach and the public-private partnership and the private sector investment was dominating over the rights and the needs to deliver to poor people the services they should have.
So, Alison, what's next? ChristianAid is already mapping out its strategies ahead of the next Earth Conference?
Well, I don't know about the next Earth Conference, but there's a number of deadlines coming up in 2015. By 2015, we should have the goals and targets in place that will replace the Millennium Development Goals. We will have assessed, and some of the Millennium Development Goals would have been highly successful. Others are still lagging behind. But we need to think of what's next. And with the Sustainable Development Goals being discussed in Rio, we now have 2 or 3 years to put in place new goals which have sustainability. It's not just about hunger, but it's about food security and sustainable food systems. It's about sustainable access to energy, not just getting energy in any form to people. It's about water security and about how we can use our water most efficiently and to serve the needs of all people. So it's a new way of looking at the goals moving forward. And I think that priority number one is that communities and civil society are as much part of that discussion on what the goals should look like as governments and corporates will be. You know, we know they will be involved. We need to make sure there's a voice for communities in deciding what those goals should be. That's our priority number one. And as we mentioned earlier, the corporates' sustainability reporting, I think, would be priority number two, to make sure that corporates are held to account.
Alison Doig is Senior Advisor on Sustainable Development for ChristianAid.